देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 24 एंटाइटल्ड द सबटेरेनियन हेवनली प्लैनेट्स टेक्स्ट 19 एंड 20। सो टेक्स्ट इज इन द प्रोज फॉर्म सो आई विल जस्ट रीड आउट। नो एवैतत् साक्षात्कारो भूमिदानस्य यत्तत् भगवती अशेष जीव निकायानं जीव भूतात्मा भूते परमात्मनि वासुदेवे तीर्थात्मे पात्र उपपन्ने परया श्रद्धया परमादार समाहित मानसा संप्रतिपादितस्य साक्षात् अपवर्गद्वारस्य यद्बील निलयश्वैर्यम्। ट्रांसलेशन। माय डियर किंग, बली महाराज डोनेटेड ऑल हिज पोजिशन टू द सुप्रीम पर्सनलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड वामन देव, बट वन शुड सर्टनली नॉट कंक्लूड दैट ही अचीव्ड हिज ग्रेट वर्ल्डली ऑपुलेंस इन बील स्वर्ग एज अ रिजल्ट ऑफ हिज चैरिटेबल डिस्पोजिशन। द सुप्रीम पर्सनलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड इज अ सोर्स ऑफ लाइफ for all living entities, lives within everyone as a friendly super soul, and under his directions, a living entity enjoys or suffers in the material world. Greatly appreciating the transcendental qualities of the Lord, Bali Maharaj offered everything at his lotus feet. His purpose, however, was not to gain anything material, but to become a pure devotee. For a pure devotee, the door of liberation is automatically opened. One should not think that Bali Maharaj was given so much opulence merely because of his charity. When one becomes a pure devotee in love, he may also be blessed with a good material position by the will of the Supreme Lord. However, one should not mistakenly think that the material opulence of the devotee is a result of his devotional service. The real result of devotional service is the awakening of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which continues under all circumstances. Text 20. Yasya ha vava kshuta patanna prashkhalanadishu vivasa sakrin nama bhi grinan purushak karma bandhanam anjasa vidunoti yasya haiva pratibadhanam mumukshavo anyathaivo अन्यथैव उपलभन्ते। ट्रांसलेशन। इफ वन हु इज एम्बैरेस्ड बाय हंगर और हु फॉल्स डाउन और स्टम्बल्स चैंट्स द होली नेम ऑफ द लॉर्ड इवन वंस विलिंगली और अनविलिंगली ही इज इमीडिएटली फ्रीड फ्रॉम द रिएक्शंस ऑफ हिज पास्ट डीड्स। कर्मीज एंटैंगल्ड इन मटेरियल एक्टिविटीज फेस मेनी डिफिकल्टीज इन द प्रैक्टिस ऑफ मिस्टिक योगा and other endeavors to achieve that same freedom. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Purport. It is not a fact that one has to offer his material possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be liberated before he can engage in devotional service. A devotee automatically attains liberation without separate endeavors. Bali Maharaj did not get back all his material opulence merely because of his charity to the Lord. One who becomes a devotee, free from material desires and motives, regards all opportunities, both material and spiritual, as benediction from the Lord. And in this way, his service to the Lord is never hampered. Bhukti, material enjoyment, and mukti, liberation, are only byproducts of devotional service. A devotee need not work separately to attain mukti. Srila Bilwa Mangal Thakur said, Mukti Svayam Mukulita Anjalihi Sevate Asman. A pure devotee of the Lord does not have to endeavor separately for mukti because mukti is always ready to serve him. In this regard, Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila 3.177-188 describes Haridas Thakur's confirmation of the effect of chanting the holy names of the Lord. केह बोले नाम है ते हय पाप क्षय, केह बोले नाम है ते जीवे र मोक्ष हय. Some says that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from all the reactions of sinful life. And others say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one attains liberation from material bondage. Haridasa kahena namera e dui phalanay, namera phala Krishna pade prema upajay. Haridas Thakur, however, said that the desired result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is not that one is liberated from material bondage or freed from the reactions of the sinful life. The actual result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is that one awakens his dormant Krishna consciousness, his loving service to the Lord. Anusangika phala namera mukti papanash tahara drishtanta yeche suryera prakash. Haridas Thakur said that liberation and freedom from the reaction of sinful activities are only byproducts of chanting the holy name of the Lord. If one chants the holy name of the Lord purely, he attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, Haridas Thakur gave an example comparing the power of the holy name to sunshine. Eish lokera artha kara panditera gana sabe kahe tumi kaha artha vivarana. He placed all verses before all the learned scholars present, but the learned scholar asked him to state the purport of the verse. Haridasa kahena yeche suryera uday, udayana haite arambhe tamera hayakshay. Haridas Thakur said that as the sun begins to rise, it dissipates the darkness of night even before the sunshine is visible. Chaura preta rakshasadira bhaya hayanash. Udaya haile dharma karma adi prakash. Before the sunrise even take place, the light of dawn destroys the fear of the danger of the night, such as disturbances of thieves, ghosts and rakshasas. And when the sunshine actually appears, one engages in his duties. Aiche namodayarambhe papa adi rakshay, udaya kaile krishna pade haya premoday. Similarly, even before one's chanting of the holy name is pure, one is freed from all sinful reaction. And when he chants purely, he becomes a lover of Krishna. Mukti tuccha phala haya nama bhasa haite, ye mukti bhakta na laya se Krishna chahe dite. A devotee never accepts mukti, even if Krishna offers it. Mukti, freedom from all sinful reaction, is obtained even by namabhas or a glimpse of the light of the holy name before its full light is perfectly visible. The namabhas stage is between that of namaprad or chanting of the holy name with offenses and pure chanting, shuddha nam. There are three stages in chanting the holy names of the Lord. In the first stage, one commits 10 kinds of offenses while chanting, called namaprad. In the next stage, the 10 offenses have almost stopped and one is coming to the platform of pure chanting called Namabhas. In the third stage, when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses, his dormant love for Krishna immediately awakens. That is called Shuddhanam. This is the perfection. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते. तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 24. Here we are describing about the subterranean heavenly planets. Till now what we have discussed is the geographical description or the structural understanding of the universe, where we have started to discuss about the lower planetary systems. There are total 14 planetary systems, out of which we have discussed the upper ones. And now the lower planetary system, where Atal, Vital, Sutal, Talatal, Mahatal, Rasatal and Patal, all the 7 planetary systems are being discussed now. So presently we are at the section where the Sutal Loka is being discussed. The Sutal Loka is the place where Bali Maharaj is residing along with Lord Vamandev. Lord Vamandev is acting as a doorkeeper for Bali Maharaj. The story, as you all know, Bali Maharaj has conquered all the 3 worlds, and feeling compassionate towards Indra, Lord appeared in the form of Vamandev, and on the pretext of taking 3 steps of land, he has conquered all the 3 worlds. So finally, when Bali Maharaj wasn't able to give, as promised, the 3rd step, he offered himself at his lotus feet. And Lord, being pleased with his complete surrender, offered him the place at Sutal Loka and gave the benediction that he himself will stay along with him in the Sutal planet. So here in this verse, it has been said that Shukdev Goswami is saying that Bali Maharaj donated all his possession to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vamandev, but one should not conclude that he achieved his great worldly opulence as a result of his charitable disposition. So sometimes it appears that whenever somebody attained certain higher position, just like we hear that by performing such and such upvas, you will attain the highest destination. By doing this vrata or by visiting the tirtha, you will attain the Vaikuntha Loka. So yes, those are the indirect way of saying the things. Sometimes it is said that if you do this charity, if you do this daan, tapasya, yajna, you will attain certain destination. So those are indirect way of saying that you will attain. But factually speaking, the charities in itself doesn't give us Krishna prem or Krishna's service. It is not possible, because Lord is not pleased with such activities. Even the great demons, the Rakshasas, also perform tapasya. They also give donation, charities. But does that mean that they will attain the same destination where the devotees goes? In a book by Srila Sanatana Goswami named Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in that book there is a discussion between Parikshit Maharaj and his mother, Mother Uttara, where Mother Uttara was very much confused that how is it possible that somebody who has given up his entire life in the service of the Supreme Lord attained Vaikuntha Loka, and at the same time the demons also, who are completely against the Supreme Lord whole life, they also attained Vaikuntha Loka. How is it possible? Just like we hear that whoever dies at the hand of the Lord, he attains liberation. But there are also many yogis who strive hard, lifelong, doing lot of tapasya, they are also aiming for the liberation. And after completion of those tapasya, they also get the liberated. So one may say that why to do so much tapasya? Why not become enemy of God and attain liberation anyway? So it will become a very easiest path. Sometimes we hear that people want to go heavenly planets, swarga, they want to attain swarga. So but for attaining swarga, one has to perform lot of pious creed to attain swarga. But also we hear in the scripture that one who dies as a warrior death on the battlefield, he also attends swarga. So what will people do? They have to attend swarga. So why to bother myself with so much tapasya and upvas? Let me go and die in the battlefield by killing the infidels, by killing the enemies. I will go to swarga anyway. So Mother Uttara was asking, how is it possible that the demons as well as devotees attain the same destination? So at that time Parikshit Maharaj gave her the explanation that it is not like that. The demons and the devotees, they attain the same place, but there are different gradations even in that place. Just like Prabhupada gave example in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that going to the kingdom doesn't mean reaching to the king's palace. One may attain the kingdom of the king, but going near to the king's palace is a different thing. Similarly, one may achieve liberation from this material world by being killed at the hand of the Supreme Lord. But that doesn't mean you will attain the same destination the devotees attain by who are serving the Supreme Lord personally in the spiritual world. So that is how we have to understand that by doing tapasya, yajna and dan and other things, one may attain some benefits, but that doesn't mean that one will attain the Supreme Lord. Sometimes people may think that, oh, Bali Maharaj has given everything in charity to the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord becomes so pleased that Supreme Lord has become doorkeeper of the Bali Maharaj. So that may conclude that even if I give charity, the Lord will be pleased with me. So this karmakandic thing is not what the goal of the statement. Even in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when the Lord is leaving Hastinapur and going to Dwarka, the ladies of Hastinapur were describing the fortunate position of the queens of Krishna in Dwarka. They were discussing what kind of tapasya, what kind of austerities, what kind of charity these women have given in their past life so that they have attained the favor of the Supreme Lord Krishna himself. So in that way they were talking. And Srila Prabhupada says, it is not like that. Na cha dane na yagya na. You know that shloka? Na dana tapa yagya yajya. Lord is not pleased with all these things. He is pleased only with the devotional service. The pure devotional service. He is pleased with that. So here also Shukdev Goswami is saying that one should not certainly conclude that he achieved his great opulence as a result of his charitable disposition. So Srila Prabhupada in this context here is saying in the purport that one should be very much eager to serve the Supreme Lord in a loving manner. So that is what has been discussed here. And then Shukdev Goswami says that how one can achieve the Supreme Lord's favor. In the next shloka he says, even if one is embarrassed by hunger, or one who falls down by stumbling and unknowingly chants the holy name of the Lord even once, willingly or unwillingly, he is immediately freed from the reaction of his past deeds. So here the glory of the chanting of the holy name is been described. where Shukdev Goswami is saying that, just when we are hungry, we say, "Oh God, oh Krishna, so much hungry I am." Or if somebody falling or been struck by a stone while walking, he may say, "Oh Krishna," just immediately he may speak out the name of the God. So even if willingly or unwillingly, if he utters the name of the Supreme Lord, he still gets benefited and he is freed from the reaction of his past misdeeds. So that is how the name of the Lord is so powerful. So there is no need to perform charity or tapasya to overcome the sinful reaction. Just the holy name of the Lord itself is sufficient enough to overcome all this thing. But Prabhupada in the purport says that one should not chant the holy name of the Lord to overcome the sinful reaction. It is just like a byproduct. Prabhupada says, bhukti and mukti are only byproducts of devotional service. A devotee need not work separately to attain mukti. So, people in this world are very much into two things. One is bhukti and second is mukti. Bhukti means they want to enjoy this world, enjoy the opulences. They want happiness in their life. And that's why they are working so hard to attain the means by which they become happy. And second thing, but doing so many things to become happy, anyway, they perform certain actions by which they get sinful reactions. And because of these sinful activities, the reaction, they are very much troubled, they are miserable in their life. So sometimes, because they are not getting happiness, what they expect, they have become miserable. And then they ask for getting recovery from that misery. They want to overcome that misery. To overcome that misery means to become free from the material miseries. That is called mukti. So if they are unhappy, they want happiness. And if they are miserable, they want to overcome that misery. So only two things people are running after. Mukti and bhukti. Only these two things. But the holy name of the Lord, the chanting of Krishna's name, one naturally gets these two benefits. Just like in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that by beginning doing bhakti, one overcomes the sinful reactions of his past life. Kleshaghani, that is the symptom of performing devotional service. One immediately gets relief from the material miseries in his life. Immediately get relief. And we also see when we are into our material life, we were into so much material miserable problems. But once we started performing bhakti, slowly, slowly all the miseries goes away and we start to feel happiness in our life. And in that way, we come to Krishna consciousness feeling blissed by performing that actions, bhakti process. So that is what we are attaining. That is the kleshagni or the miseries of this material world are removed just by chanting the holy name of the Lord. So that is how Prabhupada is saying here that one need not work to attain mukti. Mukti is byproduct of performing bhakti. So Srila Prabhupada also mentions about the discussion of Haridas Thakur in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Haridas Thakur is describing the glories of the holy name. He is saying that how holy name is so powerful. So the final purport of the whole discussion is that Prabhupada is saying that there are three stages of chanting of the holy name. Just like many of us are doing chanting. And we are chanting the holy name of the Lord for such a long time. But still there are certain difficulties in chanting. The result of chanting is that one gets immediately situated in his original position as a servant of the Supreme Lord. As his transcendental position, he achieved that position very quickly. But we see that so many devotees are chanting the names, but still they are finding it very difficult to practice bhakti. There are so many problems coming in their life. And sometimes they say that, Prabhuji, ek kaam karta hai kya? After so many times we are learning, we are hearing, we are chanting, but so many problems are still coming in the life. So why this is happening? So Haridas Thakur says there are three stages of chanting of the holy name. First is Apradha Yukta Naam. That is called as Apradha Yukta Naam is chanting of the holy name with offenses. Every morning during our Mangalarti, we chant 10 offenses towards the holy name, which we are supposed to avoid. So when we do the japa, and while performing the japa, if we commit any of these 10 offenses, it is quite natural that the holy name will not give its complete benefit. So that is called a Naam Apradha stage. Next is called as Naam Abhas stage. Naam Abhas stage is that where the offenses are almost stopped. Here it is said, the offenses have almost stopped and one is coming to the platform of pure chanting. That is called as Naam Abhas. Where while regularly reciting the 10 offenses, we become conscious that I should not commit such kind of offenses. So by consciously avoiding these 10 offenses, we are starting to chant the holy name without performing any offenses. But still, here the conscience is not perfectly pure, and this kind of chanting is called Naam Abhas chanting. And Haridas Thakur compares the Naam Abhas chanting with a rising of the sun. He says that just by chanting of the holy name, even in a Naam Abhas stage, one gets freed from all his material problems. So what are the material problems? Whatever is obstructing us in the practice of our bhakti, all these problems will go away. So he gives an example of a rising sun. Just like before the dawn, when we don't see the sunshine means the sun rays. Even before seeing the sun rays, we see a kind of a brightness in the horizon. When we understand, oh, the sun is about to come. Sun actually didn't appear. The sun didn't rise yet. But still, before rising of the sun, we see its abha or arunodaya, we can say. So similarly, we are not yet chanting the holy name with a pure form, in its pure form. But still, the effect is that the Naam Abhas chanting will give us all the benefits to overcome the material problems. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tesham tu antagata papam janana punya karmana te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajate mam dridavrata. So unless and until one overcomes the sinful propensities or sinful activities of his life, one cannot take to the bhakti very strongly. Tesham tu antagata papam. Unless all the papas of our life isn't removed, bhajante mam dridavrata. The dridavrata means determined chanting or determined bhakti is not possible. So what Naam Abhas can do, it eradicates all the past sinful deeds which we have done, all the reaction of our past sinful deeds. And once all these things are removed, naturally the desire for bhakti arises strongly and we become very firmly fixed in performance of the devotional service. So that is what even not chanting purely, we get such kind of benefit. So Srila Prabhupada is saying here that after Naam Abhas stage is called as Shuddha Naam stage. where one chants the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses and his dormant love for Krishna immediately awakens. And that is perfection. So three stages of Naam chanting has been given. First is Naam Aparadha chanting, chanting of the holy name with Aparadhas. Then Naam Abhas chanting means almost the Aparadha has been stopped and we are consciously trying to avoid offenses towards the holy name. That is Naam Abhas stage. And the next stage is the Shuddha Naam stage, where we not at all committing any offenses and chanting the holy name with pure love. At that time, the dormant Krishna consciousness awakens and one becomes blissful in his life by practically serving the Supreme Lord face to face. So that is what this description of the holy name has been described. So the purport has been given. So since there is some time, today is a very auspicious day of Makar Sankranti. Today is the day when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas. So I just wish to speak something on that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas on this day of Makar Sankranti. There is one wonderful description which I have read, and that description is in Brihad Bhagavatamrit, where Gop Kumar was discussing with Narad Muni that Narad Muni is saying that the Lord is so busy in his own leela, performing pastimes in the spiritual world, that he sometimes forgets for what he has appeared, for why he has appeared in the material world. So sometimes he forgets. So how is it possible that a Lord forgets? Is it possible that Lord can forget? It is not possible. But Narad Muni is saying that sometimes Lord forgets why he appeared in the material world. For what purpose? Because he is so busy in performing his leela with his pure devotees that he don't even care that for what purpose he has come in the material world. So there our acharyas explain three pastimes which I also very much like. Even in Ramayana, where Lord Ram appears, we see that Vishwamitra Muni comes to take Ram Lakshman, to Ram away from Ayodhya, because in that situation where Vishwamitra Muni, he himself was very much capable of destroying those Rakshasas, but he was saying that Vishwamitra Muni was into Vrata, that he should not become angry for the completion of the Yajna, and that's why he needs help of Ram. But that is just a pretext. Even Vasishtha Rishi knew that it is just a pretext where Vishwamitra Muni is taking Ram outside of Ayodhya to perform his avatar leela. But after taking Ram and Lakshman out of the Ayodhya, that Yajna which was supposed to happen, we see that it didn't complete it. Vishwamitra Muni, after killing of the Subahu and Tataka, they immediately started for Mithila, and where Mother Sita got married with Lord Ram. So there also we see that the devatas were very much thinking that Lord Ram is not starting the Leela, the killing of the Asuras, because he was so much engaged in the loving seva of the Ayodhya Vasis that he is not coming out. But after the marriage with Mother Sita, again Lord become very much busy in his pastime and in Ayodhya, and then devatas they covered the intelligence of Manthara and Kaikai, and that pastime has happened. So here we see that the Lord is so busy in the pastimes with his devotees that he don't even care that, oh, I have to perform this leela also. Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, when we see that Narad Muni has to come to Vrindavan to inform Krishna that, Krishna, you are supposed to perform pastimes in Mathura and Dwarka also. You have to kill Kamsa. We know the story where Krishna just have killed Keshi demon, and he was taking rest on the banks of the Yamuna. And at the time, Narad Muni appears there. So sometimes we see that Narada's appearance is not so usual. It is very unusual. He doesn't come just like that. There must be some purpose. But when we read Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavatam that scene is there. Krishna is just lying very silently on the bank of the Yamuna. And Narad Muni was going on describing, "Oh Krishna, your pastimes are so great. Now I am going to see that you are going to kill Kamsa, and then you are going to go to Dwarka. You're going to build that, and then you will go to Hastinapur. You will perform Mahabharata activities." All the future pastime which he was about to perform, Narad Muni is describing it. And after description of that pastime, he just leaves. Krishna doesn't speak, nor Narad Muni expect him to expect any reply from Krishna. He just describes the future pastimes and Narad Muni leaves that place. And immediately after that, we see that Akrura comes to Vrindavan. So there also it has been mentioned that Krishna was completely busy in his pastimes in Vrindavan that he almost forget that he has to perform those actions. He was very much involved into his pastimes. He doesn't bother to this all kind of killing of the asuras and everything. But he just do it anyway. Because he is very much happy in the association of devotees. He doesn't want to go out of Vrindavan. So similarly, the Lord appears in this world and he is very much happy. But still Krishna leaves his devotees with such a painful thing. When Krishna was leaving Vrindavan, so many devotees were crying and asking Krishna not to leave. And Krishna was also very much feeling that, I have to leave these people. So same thing happened in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Leela also. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from Ishwarpuri at that time, after getting initiated, he immediately started to run toward Vrindavan. So when he was starting running to Vrindavan, the heavenly voice, the Akashvani came. And the Akashvani said, the Devi gods or Devata said, that, "Oh Krishna, oh Lord, you are the Supreme Lord, you are supremely independent. We cannot instruct you, but you should not go now. Later you can go to Vrindavan. You better return to Navdeep again." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan. He was completely into his bhava stage. He has to be reminded that you have to perform such and such leela. It shows that Krishna is completely into his pastimes. He doesn't bother much of performing this avatar leela kind of thing. So he again come to Navdeepa. And in Navdeep, there is a pastime where we all know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing leela at Srivasangan. At that time, Srivasa's son, he died. Everybody was chanting of the holy name. There was so much wonderful kirtan was happening. And Srivas Thakur was thinking that, "Oh, this crying of the ladies of the house, because my son is dead, this crying may disturb Mahaprabhu's ecstasy." So he chastise them, the family members, especially his wife, that by your crying and availing, if Mahaprabhu's ecstasy goes down or he become disturbed, I will myself drown myself in Ganga. So everybody become very much afraid and they stop crying. And Srivas Thakur again joined the kirtan party. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later came to know that even after his son died, Srivas Thakur was so much into pleasing the Supreme Lord that he didn't even bother that his son died. Generally, when a child dies, mother and father stop everything and they become very much morose to see those things. But here, Srivas Thakur didn't bother. He was saying that in such a wonderful chanting atmosphere, my son is dying, he will attain certainly the highest destination. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time indicated at that first instance that he said, "Oh Shrivas, such a wonderful devotee you are. How can I leave such a wonderful association of yours?" At that time, Nityananda Prabhu was hearing that words. Nityananda Prabhu was surprised that why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that, how I can leave your association? Because after some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to accept sannyas. So here is the first indication where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicated that he is going to leave the association of his devotees. After some time, when we all know that that incident happened where when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's students were about to conspirate a plan to chastise Nimai Pandit. At that time, Nimai Pandit thought that I came here in this world to give them the highest benediction of the holy name, and these people are conspiring against me. If they commit offenses against me, how they will be delivered? They think myself to be a mere householder. Let me take sannyas so that they will pay obeisances to me. And by performing such actions, they will be elevated. They will be elevated. And in that way, they approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, decided to take sannyas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't inform everyone, only few people like Gadadhar Pandit, Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda. He just informed them, some of his nearest devotees. So once he was discussing with Nityananda Prabhu. So he was saying, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Nityananda Prabhu that now is the time came to take sannyas. And he started to share his view of taking sannyas. Nityananda Prabhu becomes so disheartened, he almost fainted. And Nityananda Prabhu said that, how is it possible you can take sannyas? Just forget about ourselves. But think about your mother, think about your wife. Who will take care of them if you take sannyas? And such a wonderful emotional pastime was happening there. Nityananda Prabhu was very much disturbed of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have to take the sannyas. Otherwise, how I can deliver this fallen soul of this world? He said, remember Nityananda Prabhu, why we have appeared in this world? To deliver the holy name to all. But Nityananda Prabhu was thinking about Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya. But Nityananda Prabhu said, you first discuss all this thing with your other devotees and then decide what you wish to do. Anyway, you are the Supreme Lord. You are free to do anything and everything, but just take consent from all other devotees. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leave that place. He discusses with other devotees, Gadadhar Pandit especially. Gadadhar Pandit also become very much upset with that. And he said, how you are going to explain this thing to your mother and your wife? Your mother doesn't have anyone. You are her only support. Your wife is also very young. If you take sannyas, who will support them? And in this way, all the devotees are trying to dissuade the Lord from taking sannyas. And later sometime, Sachi Mata came to know, some rumors were happening in the society that Nimai Pandit is going to take sannyas. So Sachi Mata became very much troubled or upset by that news. And she was thinking, if my Nimai will surely take sannyas. She was very much disturbed. And on one day, she saw that so many devotees are coming. This is a day, one day before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to take sannyas. And so many devotees are coming to his home to meet him. Sachi Mata realized that maybe Nimai Pandit is going to take sannyas now. And she was very much unhappy about it. But she cannot express it, because she heard only rumors. She didn't know what is the fact. So she just complied. So all the devotees came. And Sachi Mata knew today maybe Nimai Pandit will leave. So she was awake whole night. And she was sitting at the door, thinking that if Nimai is going to try to leave, I will stop him. Even in the night when Chaitanya, when Nimai Pandit was about to sleep, Vishnupriya also came to know these rumors that Nimai Pandit is going to take sannyas. Vishnupriya becomes so unhappy. She was crying and asked Nimai Pandit, "Is it true that you are going to take sannyas?" And Nimai Pandit said that, "Who said all these things to you?" So Vishnupriya said, "Don't trick me. Please tell me what is the truth." And Nimai Pandit said, "Oh, all these things are false. This is not going to happen." But Vishnupriya, understanding the mood of Lord, she was started to crying and she said that, "Why you need to take sannyas? If you think I am the bothering person to you in your mission, then I will give up my life. But please don't take sannyas. I will not stop you from doing anything. You perform your kirtan, you do perform your sankirtan. I will never come in between your mission. But just think of your mother. What will happen to her if you take sannyas? She doesn't have anyone other than you. So if you take sannyas, what will happen to her? At least for your mother, you should not take sannyas." So then at that time, as mentioned in Chaitanya Mangal, Lord showed his original form to Mother Vishnupriya. And even Vishnupriya came to know who she is actually. And then Lord said, "We have came to this world to perform certain, with certain mission to deliver the fallen soul." And after having all this thing, even then Vishnupriya was not willing to listen. And then Lord performed his Maya trick. She made her sleep so that she will not disturb him again. So Vishnupriya Vishnupriya fainted and she went to sleep. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then started to go take sannyas, but he saw that Sachi Mata was sitting near the door. She was awake. She knew that today Nimai Pandit will leave. So Sachi Mata was crying there and she was stopping him and saying, "Why you are leaving?" And then there is a wonderful description in Chaitanya Mangal that Nimai Lila spoke about Dhruva Maharaj story and said that if one person become a devotee in the house, his whole family members get delivered. So allow me to perform this act so that all our family members will be delivered. So in this way he spoke Dhruva Lila, but even then Sachi Mata didn't understand. She said that no, whatever it may there, I will not allow you. But then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu insisted, then Sachi Mata said, "If you have to take sannyas, I will also go with you. I will also take sannyas." So such wonderful discussion was happening between Nimai Pandit and Sachi Mata. But after some time, even it is impossible to express all these things in front of Sachi Mata. So he also performed his Maya Leela and he covered Sachi Mata with his Maya tricks. And Sachi Mata became stunned there at the door and he just left from there. So next day when everybody came to know, there was rumor happening that Nimai is taking sannyas. He went to Katwa, take sannyas from Keshav Bharati Maharaj. All the devotees came to Sachi Mata's house and they saw Sachi Mata was just lying lifeless at the door. And Sachi Mata said to everyone of his devotees that all the belongings of Nimai Pandit is yours. You are his devotees. Take everything. Everything belongs to you. Now I am going to die. I am going to commit suicide. So that is how Sachi Mata was expressing herself. And she said, "Allow me to die because there is nothing for me to live in this world now. I am going to die." But all the other devotees started to console her by saying that what Nimai has done is very certainly a very great thing, but now you should console yourself and think about what will happen to Vishnupriya. If you die, what will happen to her? Who will take care of her? She is such a very young girl and her whole life she has to stay. So you must be there to support her, to protect her. So you cannot die. So in that way, the devotee is consoled. So here also, all this pastime, we see that why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to take sannyas. He is giving so much trouble, so much pain to his devotees. Why he generally do all these things? We see even the pastimes of Ram Leela, where he performed the pastime of going into Dandakaranya, 14 years of exile. We see Chaitanya, we see Lord Krishna going out of Vrindavan, giving pain to Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj and all the other gopis. And even in this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Leela, we see that for performing his avatar karya, he is giving so much pain to his dearmost devotees. So why he generally do this? It is because for us only. Because he thinks that delivering the fallen souls is his most highest priority. So on the same ground, even our acharyas has performed the same thing. Srila Prabhupada, our Prabhupada disciple many times say, what is the need of Prabhupada to go to West at the age of 70? There was no need. He could have stayed in Vrindavan, perform his bhajan and perfected his life. But even at the age of 70, he left Vrindavan at his highest age. And then he started to preach this message. For whom? So he was doing all these things for us only. If Mahaprabhu have not taken sannyas, if Prabhupada have not come to West to preach this message, what will happen to us? Who will have delivered us? So all these pastimes which we hear in this story, especially today's Makar Sankrati, the day of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas, we should remember that all this avatar karya, all this leela, Krishna is doing everything for us so that we can go back home, back to Godhead. That is the sincere or the most desirable, most desired activity of the Lord, that all of us should go back home, back to Godhead. And that's why he does all these pastimes. Otherwise, what is the need for him to come to this material world and getting so much abused by all these people, especially the atheist people, but still he comes for the sake of we all devotees. So let us take the process of chanting Hare Krishna seriously, chant the holy name of the Lord with sincerity, and being grateful, we should try to overcome conditioning and perform devotional service nicely. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.